2763-406-9126. That's hashtag Africa Update. With November being National Disability Rights Awareness Month in South Africa, the Gender-Based Violence and Femicide Response Fund aims to bring attention to the fact that many people living with disabilities continue to be abused and are unable to defend themselves or speak out. The fund is alarmed at the lack of statistics and figures available both globally and locally to illustrate the extent of GBVF being perpetrated against persons living with disabilities. For more on this, we are joined on the line by Tshepo Sifutlelo, the Executive Head of Marketing and Communication of the GBVF Response Fund. Tshepo, good afternoon and thank you for joining us on Africa Update.
Hi, Lulu.
Now, Tshepo, you know, the fact that there aren't any statistical figures available both locally and globally, this is very worrying.
Yes, I think it points to the fact that the people with disabilities are generally marginalized, right? So if you think of the workplace, if you think of the way that the infrastructure or the town planning is done, it really doesn't take into consideration people with disabilities. Yes, it's gotten better over the years, but it's not as prevalent as it should be, because we know that there are a number of people that live with disabilities, whether it be physical or whether it be a mental challenge. And I think it just the issue of now, when you add the issue of gender-based violence and femicide being committed against them, it just underlines and it really shines the light on the issue that, you know, this is a marginalized group and we really need to do better in terms of creating an environment and a context where they know they can be heard and they are looked after and their opinion matters. Because at the end of the day, if you want to change a narrative or you want to change something for the better for a people, you need to involve them in the decision maker and they need to be part of the solution.
Clearly, this is an invisible pandemic, because how do we, as you say, we need to bring them into the conversation, have discussions with them. We've heard of reports where, people living with disabilities, just the thought of going to the police station to even open a case is a challenge on its own.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And again, that's why I started earlier on to say we need to create an environment. So, for example, if I am a Tshepo and I am mentally challenged or maybe I am deaf, right? If I go to a police station, do we have a police officer that understands sign language? If not, is there somebody who can support me? Because often what happens is even if, let's say, I'm born in a family and I'm deaf and everybody can hear and is able-bodied in my family, You get a lot of frustration in the family home because the parents can't communicate with the child. Sometimes they don't have an interest in learning the sign language. Sometimes they do, but they just don't have the time because their first point of call is putting bread on the table, right? So you find that I have to wake up early hours in the morning and I come back late hours and then I have this child who cannot hear. But how do we communicate? So you end up with a lot of frustration because the environment is not geared, right? The system is not geared to adequately respond and create an environment where people with disabilities are able to be communicate, are able to be heard, but most importantly, we create an environment where we can hear them and listen to their frustrations and have some empathy because we are not giving them that opportunity. So I think yes, it has gotten better over time, but I think, you know, unfortunately in South Africa, we tend to get into this tick box exercises where we don't make a meaningful contribution. And one of the things that we wanted to highlight, given that this month is observing them and we are going towards 16 days of activism, we wanted to shine a light on this to say, guys, as much as everybody is having conversations around gender-based violence and femicide, but do you know that it's also happening at a rapid pace against people with disabilities? Why? Because they are marginalized, right? And they don't have an opportunity to speak for themselves. And even if they do, they don't have an environment or a system that's geared to listening to them.
Now, how is the Response Fund, just to mention the name again for our viewers, the Gender-Based Violence and Femicide Response Fund that you represent, how is this, the fund, apart from highlighting the issues, but responding to the issues of people living with disabilities? It is an invisible crisis.
Yeah, Lulu, I think that's a great question. So let me first start off by painting a context for our listeners, right? That the GBF Response Fund is not an implementer. We are an enabler, and we play a national convening role when it comes to gender-based violence. So what we do is we raise much-needed funds, largely from the private sector and international philanthropic organizations. And then we take those funds and then we channel them to community-based organizations that are doing work on the ground. So what we do is we believe strongly in partnerships. So what we do is we get organizations that work with people with disabilities, focusing on gender-based violence, that approach us and they respond to our request for proposals. And they tell us, you know, these are the programs that we do. So what we'll need to do as an organization is to broaden our scope in terms of finding more and more organizations that are doing work and doing work with people with disabilities. They show us their program. We obviously vet it and make sure that they are going to achieve the desired results, you know, and then once we've done that, we make sure that we channel that funding through to them. But I think highlighting this issue is a great first step in saying, guys, we need to do better and we can do more. And there is an opportunity for us to improve this and create an environment for our people with disabilities, because they are part of us. They are brothers, they are fathers, they are mothers, they are part of our community.
And what more needs to be done, to empower persons living with disabilities, basically helping to seek, or for them to be able to seek help and ensure that they do get the help? Where is the starting point?
I think the first starting point, you know, they say charity begins at home. You know, people will often say that, oh, but we're always saying that, but it really does. If I am a TEP and then my neighbor is a person with disability, you know, am I friendly towards them? Do I go greet them? Do I ask them, how are you? How can I assist you? How can I help? I think we need to stop exercising them and making them feel bad for something that they were born with, something that they cannot help. We need to reach out. You know, we need to have Ubuntu. You know, we need to, as much as we want to be respected, we also need to show them respect, check up on them, but also know that all the plans that we do, let's involve them. They are part of our community. Let's not exclude them. Let's include them. Let's be inclusive. They are part and parcel of who we are. If you are somebody who has a person that is deaf in the family, take it upon yourself to learn sign language. Take it upon yourself to understand them and how to communicate with them. And I think if we do that, we can be a much better society for that, because we all are diverse. And diverse is a good thing, because we all think differently, right? And definitely they play a key role in some of the decisions and the plans that we make as a country and in society. And we can only be richer for it.
Tepo, thank you so much for your time this afternoon.
Thanks, Lulu.
That's Tepo Sefutlelo. He's Executive Head of Marketing and Communication of the Gender-Based Violence and Femicide Response Fund in South Africa, and he was joining us on the line. It's exactly 12:50 Central African time, and if you're an avid listener of the show,